Welcome to Sefer Nechemya Perek Ches. Perek Ches is a beautiful Perek. The people gather in front of the gate, one of the gates, the water gate, actually, to hear Ezra reading from the Torah with the Leviim, the others. They're translating and explaining the verses, the Psukim, to the people. Remember, the Rambam talks about the role of the Leviim being to teach Torah to the people. They don't have a city themselves. They don't have a landmass themselves. They're spread out around cities, around Eretz Yisrael. They teach the people Torah. The people have become afraid. Now listen to this unbelievable sensitivity and willingness to grow. Why? They realize it's Rosh Hashanah that day. And this was part of the reading that day. They felt that their lack of mitzvah observance means they were doomed. Rosh Hashanah, day of judgment. They're not doing mitzvahs properly. The Ralbag says that actually this fear was also caused by the fact that Ezra chose to read the curses in the Torah for those who failed to observe the mitzvahs. The Malbim, by the way, says that Ezra also read parts of the Torah Shav Alper, as well as the laning notes and the vowels, or the system of vowels, of the Torah Shav Bichsav. The people were told not to mourn and cry, be happy, you know, al teyatzvu. The joy of Hashem is what you're armed with. Now this Rosh Hashanah carries, there's a mitzvah of joy of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. The fact that Hashem is looking at us, the fact that Hashem wants us to do well, the fact that Hashem wants to give us good and therefore calls us into account on Rosh Hashanah, the underlying facet of that is joyful, it's joyous. By the way, it is okay to cry in Rosh Hashanah. You're allowed to do that, the Arizal says. In fact, it's a sign that you're being judged then. But it sounds like the mourning was, not correct to do on Rosh Hashanah. Either way, the joy allows us to, the Ralbag adds, sorry, that the joy allows us to understand Hashem better. Now, it's interesting that the Nechemya instituted food being given to each other. There were food gifts. Why? Because says Rav Nach Olweck that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem created people, men, Hashem created human beings, the word is, with kindness. Olam chesedi bonet. To emulate this, we sent gifts to one another. In fact, the food packages that we sent to each other were also, says the Malbim, part of the mitzvah to provide for the poor on the festivals. Remember, there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. There's a second day of Rosh Hashanah. What happens over here? The heads of the people come back and they learn about the mitzvahs fully. It is interesting that the Matzidus David talks about why there were 2 days Rosh Hashanah that year. Anyway, they come back, they learn more. They learn about the laws of Sukkos, and everyone observes Sukkos properly, wholeheartedly. It says no one had observed Sukkos, it says Pasuk Yizayin, since the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, which is quite curious because surely they knew about it. What about all the Shoftim who were righteous? So Ralbag says it means that the devotion of Sukkos was unique. The Malbim has a very interesting take on this. The Malbim says, no, there's a halachic angle over here. They didn't observe sukkahs. It means like this. It means normally you're not allowed to build sukkah on public property. Why? Because it has to. You can't. You can't just take someone's property and build a sukkah there. You can't do that. It's not that you have to own a sukkah. You know, you can sleep in someone else's sukkah as long as they allow you to, but you're not allowed to build it on public property. However, until now, Yerushalayim had been commonly owned, and therefore it had the status of a public domain. Or it's just Harabim, you can't have a sukkah there. But now the fields have been purchased privately. They've been bought. The sukkahs were allowed again to be built in Yerushalayim because it's not a public property. Very interesting. Anyway, that is our perek. That is Perek Ches of Sefer Nechemya.